Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Today, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles out. Go with me to Colossians, the second chapter. We're going to be continuing and actually concluding our series called Cultural Currents. This is part number six. Cultural Currents, part number six. Colossians chapter 2, I want to read to you verse number 9 and verse number 10. In Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Speaking of Jesus Christ, that's a pretty amazing statement in case you missed it. Saying that in Jesus Christ bodily dwells God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Everything that is God, everything that pertains to God, you can find it in Jesus Christ. The fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in his physical form. Wow. Verse number 10, "And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and powers." There's a roller coaster that used to be in England. In fact, it's at the Alton Towers. It's called the Corkscrew Roller Coaster. And it's in Staffordshire, England. It was the first double-looped roller coaster in all of Europe. Before they demolished it, 43.5 million people rode the Alton Towers Corkscrew Roller Coaster. Throughout its years, it ran, and even during the cleanup, they found items that gravity had taken away from their owners, all right? And some of you guys have had that, right? You lost a hat or something like that. And listen to the items that they found. Among the items were one diamond ring, 53 mismatched shoes, not a single pair of shoes, just one. How frustrating is that, right? It's like the socks in your dryer. 237 cell phones. Got to get that selfie. Whoa, there it goes, right? 604 watches. I was surprised by that. 604 watches. Must have been loose watches just right off, you know, or something. I don't know what was going on. Maybe they were timing how fast the loose went and just, I don't know. 604 watches. Thousands of hats. Now, that one I expected, right? Because you wear that hat and the wind gets blowing, it's gone, right? Here's the ones that got to me, all right? They found one prosthetic leg. How many of you know that's a bad day? And no one ever came to claim it. I don't know how they got home that night, but God bless them, you know? And then here's the last one. 10 undergarments. Maybe we don't want to know about those ones, right? We'll just pass that one along. But see, gravity has a way of pulling at our lives, doesn't it? And here on the corkscrew, the G-forces were pulling things away from their owners. In the same way, the cultural currents that come against our lives will actually try and draw things away from us. When you're out there in the world, your peace starts to flee, doesn't it? You get in the middle of the 10 freeway, and all of a sudden, you're in traffic, you're enclosed, they're doing construction, and there's gravity pulling at your peace. How about your joy? You know, you start to have a good day and you feel like, man, this is a great day. And so you're going throughout your day and all of a sudden you get a phone call and all of a sudden gravity is pulling at your joy. Your resource, the things that you said, man, I'm supplied by God, I'm ready to go. And then something happens in life and the gravity of life starts to draw things away from you. But today, if we can recognize and realize what the scripture has to say, we will understand that where the currents will deplete you, Christ will complete you. Where the currents of life will deplete you, Christ will complete you. You complete me, right? Some of you guys know the reference that I'm talking about. But we need to find our completion in Christ. Not in the things that we have or don't have. Not in the world around us. Not in the circumstances. Not in things of life. Because if you do that, you're always going to end up empty. But when you come to Jesus, when you forsake the philosophy and the empty deceit of this world, and you come to Jesus, when you access the things that you have in Jesus Christ, it makes all the difference in the world. Let me show this to you once again in the world. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9 and 10. Let's read it again. We read it one time already, but I think we need to understand really what the scriptures say. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9, "For in him dwells all the fullness." Everybody say the fullness. That word fullness could mean completion. It could mean perfection. It is a word that talks about being filled up with no space left on the inside. Think about Jesus as a shipping container for a second. I know this is a little weird because Jesus is a shipping container. But have you ever been on the freeway and seen those large shipping containers on the back of a semi-truck, right? And they're these big containers. Maybe you've been stopped at a train and you've seen container after container after container after container going by on the train. They're double stacked, right? And for miles it goes on, these trains. How about if you've ever been down to Long Beach or one of the port cities where you can see these massive tankers, these big old ships, right? And they've got all of these shipping containers on the top of them. It's speckled. And there's all these different shipping containers. Now, Jesus, the Bible says, is filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus contains everything that there is of God in himself bodily. Okay, you getting the picture? That's verse number 9. But look at verse number 10. And you. Now, wait a second. We were just talking about Jesus. But now the thinking shifts in the middle of the sentence, and he says, and you are complete in him. That word complete is the same word used of Jesus when it talks about that he is filled with all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So let me read it to you that way, okay? And you are full in him. In the world, you might be empty. In the world, you might be lacking, but in him, you are that shipping container, you are that train, you are that boat that has all of the containers that is filled with all the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. And it says that he is the head of all principality and power. The difference is are we accessing that fullness? Today, I want to give you a couple of quick things that we're going to take a look at. That if we will tap into his fullness, if we will access the things that we have available to us in Christ Jesus, because remember, in the world, there's going to be lack. In the world, there's going to be pain. Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble. In the world, there will be things that come against you, those cultural currents that try to deplete you, whereas Christ wants to completely complete you. If you will tap into Christ. Being in Christ, being complete in Christ means something to each and every one of us. And we have to access that. We have to tap into his presence. We have to tap into his power. We have to pray to him. We have to get back in line with the things of God, walking in obedience to the things that he said to us. And as we access his fullness, it makes all the difference in our lives. Being complete in Christ means being, are you ready for this? First one is that means that we are being ready for anything. You know, when you have everything available to you, it doesn't matter what comes at your life, does it? You're ready for it. You can be ready for anything because you are thoroughly equipped. You are complete. You are full. You know, my wife and I laugh because oftentimes when we go on a trip, we pack way more than we need to pack. You know, we'll be going to some hot place like the desert, or we'll be going out to the beach. And, you know, at the beach, you need a pair of shorts and maybe a t-shirt, right? And here we are packing jeans. Just in case it gets cold at night and we want to wear jeans and we never use them. It's like, why did we end up packing 5 pairs of jeans, right, for our trip? And we end up overpacking. I remember when we had babies, and any of you guys have young kids, right? You got the baby, you got the stroller, you got the diaper bag, you got 2 bottles just in case one of them the baby doesn't like, you know, you got one empty one, one that's full, right? And then you've got the pad that you lay down, you got the little strips, the things, you got the thing just in case you go shopping that you can put inside of the shopping cart that keeps the baby from putting their mouth where everybody's hands go, because we are a bunch of germ freaks and don't you dare give a germ to my baby, right? And so here we are, and we've got all this stuff, and they look like a pack mule. I feel bad for these moms, right? Look like a pack mule walking around. The dad's got baby in one arm, the carrying thing in the other arm, you know? It's just amazing. But why? Because you don't want to get out there and have an accident and not have a change of clothes. You know, I'm amazed at women's purses sometimes. You ladies should know that you are amazing. Some of the things contained in your purses, you know, there have been times where I've wondered at my wife, like, why would you keep that in your purse? But hey, for such a time as this, right? I've been called forth to carry this purse. The one that takes it to a whole nother level is Pastor Deborah. She's over here on the front row today. And Pastor Deborah's purse is like Mary Poppins' purse. You know what I mean? Where she's pulling out the coat rack. She pulls out a full-length mirror and puts it on the wall, that sort of thing. I mean, I'm not exaggerating, okay? There's a whole row of people over here that are laughing and shaking their heads yes to this, okay? They're gonna keep me honest and keep me straight today. Have we or have we not found a roll of duct tape in Pastor Deborah's purse? Yes, we have. And after she pulled out the duct tape and said, and we all looked at her and said, why do you have a roll of duct tape in your purse? She said, well, you never know. And then she says, but pulls out a tape measure. And not like the little ones, you know, the keychain one, pulls out a big old like construction grade tape measure. And then, if that wasn't enough, pulled out a rubber mallet. I could wrap my head around duct tape because that is like, you know, the Wonder Stick tape thing, you know, you can make wallets out of it. And I saw a guy make a suit out of it one time and all that kind of stuff. It is amazing, right? If your car bumper falls off, hey, put that bad boy back on, right? But a rubber mallet? My goodness. It is amazing. It is amazing. But why? Because we want to be thoroughly equipped. We want to be ready for anything. We want to make sure. See, when you can tap into the fullness of Jesus Christ, doesn't matter what comes at you in life. If you want to find peace, you will find it in the Prince of Peace. If you want to find provision, you will find it in Jehovah Jireh, my provider. If you want to find wisdom, you will find it in the Spirit of Wisdom, Jesus Christ. Whatever you need for life and godliness, you can find it in Him. You won't find it out there in the world. Remember, the world's going to deplete you. The world's going to tear you down. The world is going to draw things away from your life. But Jesus Christ wants to add to your life. He wants to build your life so that you are fully equipped, ready for anything. Ready for anything. John chapter 1, verse number 16, if you want to turn there with me, right in the beginning of the Gospel of John, speaking of Jesus, talking about the Word that was with God and the Word that was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And now we can be sons and daughters of God through faith in Him. Now look at what it says in John chapter 1, verse number 16. John chapter number 1, verse number 16. Take a look at it with me. It says this, and He said, oh wait, that's chapter 2. John chapter 1, verse number 16. It says, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Of His fullness. Jesus, who is full of the Godhead bodily. Jesus, who has everything available to Him, all the resources of heaven. Solomon said of God when he built the temple, he said, the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you, God. See, all of that is in Jesus Christ. And now of His fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. See, anytime the Bible starts repeating itself, what it's doing is punching in the same place twice. You know, one time it hurts, but two times, oh man, you're really getting hurt at that point, right? And so He says, of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Now, we don't think of grace just as God's, unmerited favor. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about grace, even though it is unmerited, and even though it is the favor of God. But see, it's not just some impersonal force that God gives us. Well, you know, now you can be saved from sin, and that's all it's really about. No, this is about life. And this verse here debunks that's all that grace is. Because it says, of His fullness we have all received. The resource that was available to Jesus is now available to you and to me. And it says, and grace, one grace, the unmerited favor of God, but also then it adds the second punch to the same spot for grace. There has been a favor that had been on the people of God ever since the time of Abraham and Noah. And you can find that all throughout the Bible, the people that had faith and that believed God. There was an unmerited favor. It was accounted to them. It was credit that was righteousness on their account. But then the second one that comes from the fullness that we have received in Jesus Christ. Grace for grace. Grace that we define here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, if you know it, you can say it with me, is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. It's God's power. It's the power of God that's available to me, that if I can tap into and access the fullness of God, then I have every resource, every power, every ability, every strength, every wisdom, everything that I need is available to me. How? Through the grace that God gives me. But you got to access it, all right? Speaking of women's purses, I heard the story of an elderly lady who was sitting on a park bench one day, and she heard a voice say, hey. She looked around. She couldn't see anything. She heard the voice again, over here. She still didn't see anything. Finally, she heard, down here. She looked down. There's a little frog looking up at her. She says, are you talking to me? He says, yes, I am. I'm actually a very handsome prince, very wealthy. And all I need is a kiss, and I'll become a human again. She picked the frog up, looked him in the eyes, and threw him in her purse, started to walk away. And the frog says, "Hey, what are you doing? Aren't you going to give me a kiss and make me a handsome prince?" She says, "No, at my age, it'd be more fun to have a talking frog." I feel bad for that frog. But don't look at what you've lost in the world. Oftentimes, don't we look at that? We look at the things that we've lost. We look at the things that have been taken away from us. We look at the depletion. And we sit there and we look longingly at those things that we once had. And yet, God is saying, don't look at what you've lost. Look at what you found in Christ Jesus. Don't sit on the side of the road. Don't sit on the side of the river bawling and squalling about the fact that your little paper toy got taken down the way in the currents of life. No, it's time to realize that there are freightliners available to you, that there are things that you have that no one else has in this world. You have more available to you. Think about it this way. Solomon said, "The heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you, God." What is he saying? He's saying that there is more in God than there is in this entire universe. Why? Because the universe came from God. God is a greater force. He is a greater strength. He's bigger than the universe we live in. The earth is his throne. Heaven's his throne. The earth is his footstool, right? He stretched out, the Bible says, the heavens. That means he is bigger than the universe we live in. So that means there is more in God than there is in this world. But just like we went from verse number 9 about God to verse number 10 about you and me, Jesus, the one whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily, lives in you and he lives in me. That means that there is more inside of us. Come on, you got to get a hold of it. There is more inside of you. If you are born of the Spirit of God, and if the Spirit of Christ lives on the inside of you, there is more on the inside of you than there is in the world. That means you don't have to get pushed around by the currents of this world. When some stupid philosopher comes along and says, "Well, wait a second, is there really a God? Is there really purpose to this life?" Tell him, "Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Everything proceeded forth, and the world were framed by the very word of God. By faith, we understand that. You have more on the inside of you. You have the boldness of God. You have the courage of God. You can stand up. You can shine as a light in a lost and dying world. When they start to tell you that God's dead, you say, no, my God is not dead. Death could not hold him in the grave. He is alive forevermore, and he's seated at the right hand of God. And he's alive on the inside of me, giving life to my mortal body." Wow, there is more on the inside of you than there is on the outside of you. But things have been depleted. Things have been lost. Things have been broken. Things are going south. It's time for you to rise up, start to declare the will of God, start to access the fullness that you have. If you don't have resources, start to tap into the resources of God. If you don't have strength, tap into the strength of God. If you don't have wisdom, tap into the wisdom of God. It's time to start accessing the fullness that's available to us. Second thing is this, what does it mean? What does it mean that we have now received the fullness of God? It means something. It means, number one, that we are ready for anything. But number two, it means that we are patient through everything. That we are patient through everything. Now, you might be thinking, "Pastor Dan, that is a faith statement if I've ever heard it before. I couldn't even make it to church this morning without being impatient." I'm right there with you. Just last night, I was trying to drive home, and I'm driving on the 215 South, getting to the 10 freeway, and they had blocked the 10 freeway, and I'm going, "Oh my goodness, why do I have to sit here?" And then, of course, we're going to go down to the next exit, which everybody and their mother were also getting off on that next exit, right? Because they couldn't access the 10 freeway. And so as we're sitting there, I'm sitting there staring at the side of the road. There's an accident up here. People are zipping by on the left-hand side. And I'm just boiling on the inside going, "What am I doing sitting here?" And then finally, I realize, you know what? I can have the peace of God. I don't have to be in a hurry. I can just allow the presence of God to lead me in this moment, and I can get through this. See, our fullness is a place we live from, not a place that we strive for. You got to get a hold of this. Our fullness is a place we live from, not a place that we strive for. That means that if we see an area that we are lacking in, that if we will trust God and access his fullness, then he will bring us to a place of completion, fullness, perfection, and peace. You know, when you're fully equipped, you don't have to worry about anything, right? If you already know the outcome, then why worry? If you've read the end of the book and you realize we win, and that no matter what we go through in the natural, that we still have his fullness, then why am I going to fret and worry about that? Why bite my nails? Why hide my head under the covers? Why be depressed and discouraged and anxious? Because God has given to me more than there is in the world. See, any of you guys like doing home projects? No one likes doing home projects, right? We'd rather be watching TV, sitting around the house. But we all have to do home projects from time to time. I've found that every home project that I do requires a minimum of 3 trips to the hardware store. Anybody can say amen and testify. All right, I see a whole lot of men's hands going up, right, because you guys are the ones doing this stuff. Man, you want to just fix a little washer on the faucet. And, okay, so you got to go get the washer. So you go to, you know, the hardware store, you pick it up, you come back, and all of a sudden you realize, I don't have the tool to get to the washer. So you have to go back to the hardware store and then get the tool to get the washer out. So then you open it up and you realize, man, this thing's all calcified on the inside. Then you got to go back to the hardware store to get the calcium reduction solution and then come back and fix it. All I wanted to do was replace one little washer, but 3 trips to the hardware store. You know, I'm painting the other day, and as I'm painting, I had calculated out, okay, this many square feet, I've already done this other side, it was good, you know, I'm painting concrete, and so it's soaking it in, I'm going to need this many gallons, so I come home, I've got everything that I think that I need, and sure enough, I have to go to the hardware store 3 times to get more paint and to make sure that I've got everything that I need for this job. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. But what would life be like if everything didn't have to take more time? If everything didn't have to take multiple trips to go over here and go over there and talk to this person and do that, what if we could go to one place? What if we could go to one source? What if we could access the fullness that God has and not make multiple trips out there in the world to different places to see if we can find what we need? See, our fullness is a place that we live from, not a place that we strive for. In the world will tell you that you have to strive that one day that you'll get there. One day, you'll accumulate enough wealth. One day, you'll get enough stuff. Maybe, if you work real hard and if you save up and store up, then you can have something that brings you peace. And yet, we start where the world finishes. Because at the moment of salvation, you receive Jesus Christ, right? And with Jesus Christ comes the fullness of God. So we start where the world is trying to finish. We start with perfect peace. We start with perfect provision. We start with perfect resource, and we start with perfect patience. You can make it through anything that you're going through. See, if we realize that everything we're going through in life, God has already thoroughly equipped us for the job. If we can go to him, if we can access the supply and live from his fullness, it will make all the difference in our lives. Philippians chapter number 1, right before Colossians, you'll find the book of Philippians. Right there at the beginning of Philippians in chapter number 1. Verse number 6, the apostle writes to the Philippian church, and he says this in Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has not finished with any of us yet. Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad that God is still working on you, that he's working on your behalf, but that you don't have to live depleted and defeated, that you can live from his fullness and from his completion? That's where we start. We start with full. We start with perfect. We start with complete. We just have to learn how to access it. Is anybody listening today? Last thing for us today is this. Not only are we ready for anything, patient through everything, but we are afraid of nothing. The fullness of God cast out all fear. You don't have to be afraid when you've got fullness, right? You don't have to be afraid when you've got God on your side. Remember that it said that Jesus is the head of all principality and power. That's speaking in the natural of authority structures on the earth. You can find that applied that way in the Bible, that it talks about the governments, that it talks about the forces on the earth, the authorities that are placed, but as well it talks about the spiritual realms. It talks about the angelic forces, whether they be angels or demons. All of the authority structures have to submit to Jesus Christ. He is the head. Everything proceeded forth from him. There is no authority that's been given except that which has been given by God. That means that anything that is in place has to bow and submit to the authority of God, including Satan himself. Even though he's a rebel, he has boundaries that have been placed on him that he cannot cross. Remember when he came and he asked God for Job? He said, have you considered my servant Job? He says, yeah, I have, but you put a hedge of protection around him. And God said, you can do this, you can do that, but you cannot do this. And he put boundaries on what the devil could do. See, the devil is not an equal opposite force of God. He is submitted to the rule and the authority of God. So if the devil comes knocking, you can send him packing. Because he has to submit to the authority of the Word of God, Christ in us, right? And if Jesus, the Word, is coming out of you, then the devil has to submit to that Word. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to cower. You don't have to wonder, because God is with you. There was a time my wife and I were at the beach with our children. I think at the time we only had the two kids. We've had a third one since, but I think our middle son was the little guy at that time. He was kind of a toddler. And we were just there at the shore, and we like to go to a place in Newport Beach. It's down south in Balboa. It's called The Wedge. Anybody know about The Wedge, right? You get some amazing waves at The Wedge. It's kind of fun just to watch them crash on the shore, especially during like times where there's a storm or something off the coast and it's creating bigger waves, because these waves get huge and it's fun just to watch them crash on the shore. And sometimes some stupid person goes out there and wants to surf it or be on a boogie board or something like that, and you get to see them wipe out and eat it bad, you know? And so they come with their cracked board, you know, kind of soaking and dripping and tail between their legs, and you know, it's just kind of a fun day to watch. And so we had our kids, and our daughter was playing on the playground behind us and having a good time. We had our eye on her, and then our son wanted to play in the sand. Now we knew that the waves were just bad at this time, crashing, so we kept him up the shore with us, and there's a hill that goes up the Wedge. So we're playing at the top of the hill, and he's just there playing in the sand. As we're standing there looking at the waves, a lifeguard comes walking up and starts to strike up conversation. He said, "Hey, you guys know that the waves are pretty bad today?" And we said, "Yeah, we're just watching. We're not going in." He said, "That's a good idea." And so we continued to talk a little bit, and he was telling us different stories about things that had happened and telling us why this was going on and the storms and the systems and all that kind of stuff that's going through. And while we're standing there, a big, big wave just comes crashing on the shore. It sounded like thunder, you know, and it came rushing straight up this little hill that we were on, and it actually got all of us pretty much, you know, above our ankles in water. Now, remember, my son, my little guy, he's just to the side of us there playing in the sand. Well, it completely swept him up, and it pushed him uphill, and he just rolled right up the hill. Now, that wouldn't be so bad, because if he rolls up the hill and the water recedes and he's still there, he's okay. He's just wet. But as the water started to pull back, he started to roll back down. Now, in a moment, I'm watching my son get swept away right before my eyes, and fear could have gripped me, but the lifeguard, in one sudden, swift moment, just went and grabbed him up out of the water. And he just handed him straight back to us and said, "I think you guys might want to move a little bit further back." I said, "I think we're leaving right now, okay?" But see, I had a comfort level because the lifeguard was right there with me. I had a comfort level because he had the abilities that I don't have. That guy can swim faster than I can swim. That guy knows the waters better than I know the waters. He understands currents and all the things that are going on. He understands those things. He knows them because he studied them. He swam in them. He saved people from them. And there, he just saved my son from those waters that would have tried to carry him out to sea. So I had a comfort level standing there with him. How much more if we've received the fullness of God and if God is with us wherever we go? See, many times we fear, don't we? We fear the cultural currents around us. What are we going to do? I can't tell you over the last several elections how many times I've heard people say, "Oh my gosh, the Antichrist just got put in the White House." Oh, would you shut up? It is not the Antichrist. That's the president. Respect them and pray for them. The Antichrist spirit has already been out there in the world, but I'm not afraid of the beast. I'm not afraid of the Antichrist. They have to bow to the name of Jesus. They've been given parameters. God wants us to live a life free of fear, free of fretting, free of worry, free of doubt. God is on our side. He is the head of all principality and powers. Those same demonic forces that would try to sway you must bow to his authority. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, if you turn past first five books of the Bible to the sixth book, the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number one, you can imagine Joshua's trepidation, his heart. You can imagine him looking at the future with fear and wonder and worry. Here, his entire life, his entire existence, he'd been born a slave and now he'd been delivered. He'd seen this great man Moses lead the children of Israel with miracles and signs and wonders, great and mighty things that God did by his hand. He saw the waters of the Red Sea split and he walked across it. He saw the battles that were won as Moses stood on top of the mountain with his arms up. people helping him there, but Joshua was down in the valley fighting the battle. And he watched as the tides turned, as Moses' arms would go up and would go down, how the battle would sway based on this man Moses and his activities on the earth. Now Moses can't enter the promised land, and so Moses dies, but he gives Joshua, his young apprentice, charge to take the children of Israel into the promised land. You can imagine the fear, the wonder. Wait a second. Moses is gone. I'm just a youth, just a young man, 80 years old, as he's entering into the promised land. But God shows up and starts to speak to Joshua and starts to tell him about life, starts to tell him about what's about ready to happen. God tells him, no man will be able to stand against you, Joshua. And here's the reason why. In Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 9, look at what it says. In Joshua 1, verse number 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. How can we not be afraid? There's stuff going on out there, Lord. You don't know my neighbors. You don't know my enemies. You don't know my relatives. Nor be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, if we're operating in fear, that means we are not accessing the fullness of God. When you're operating in fear, you're not walking in and living in the revelation that God is with you and that the fullness of God is with you. Every weapon that God has, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, everything has been given to you. You now have the fullness of the Godhead bodily living on the inside of you. Jesus is with you. See, no matter the current that comes against you, he will catch you. He has the power to protect, substance to satisfy, wisdom to guide, liberty to live in, and love to lead you. Busy has to bow to his be still and know that I am God. Perversion gives way to purity and God's pleasure, and love of self gives way to the love of God and the love of people, which will lift us and which will fulfill our lives. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you, which means that you will never want of anything. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. That means that we are ready for anything, patient in everything, and afraid of nothing. Come on, church, did you guys get this today? And this is the place that we live from, but we have to access it. Father, today we receive your word, and we thank you, Lord, that we shall not fear nor be afraid. God, you are with us. Lord, we access your fullness, fullness of joy, fullness of pleasure, fullness of provision, God, fullness of wisdom. Oh, God, fullness in every area of our life. And God, as we do, we know that life will just pop, God, that you're going to do great and mighty things, things that we never dreamt possible. We're going to live a larger life than we ever believed, Lord, because you are working in us, doing exceedingly abundantly, above all that we could even ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody in agreement said, amen. Did you guys get something from this series? Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.